Yeah, baby, it is week 10 for the Fantasy Feast podcast, and over a million people have now downloaded Draft. I've been saying for a while 450,000, now it's a million. What does that tell you? That it's awesome. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done under 5 minutes. They last just 1 week. It's just like any daily fantasy, 1 week fantasy, whatever. You can join one for week 10 immediately. You're playing for cold hard cash. Your chance of winning, 80% better than on the salary cap sites, which is pretty cool. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. You just have to use the promo code FEAST. Again, you're playing a real money game for free just by using the promo code FEAST. Gets even better. Draft.com, they are so sure you'll love it. They're offering Fantasy Feast listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Who does that? Money-back guarantees, $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast for week 10, presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast podcast with the best odds, fast payouts. He is the one and only Evan Silva. The guy is like the Rain Man of fantasy football, and I mean that as a compliment. He sits there and does this show without notes in front of him, and he's just done so much practice. He's read so much, taken so many notes, done so much work that he is ready to rock and roll with a smorgasbord, a veritable smorgasbord of information. Look, if you love fantasy football, and if you're listening to this podcast, you do, and you're not following him on Twitter, you're honestly doing it wrong. At Evan Silva is where my Roto World superstar resides on Twitter. Evan, before we get into it, you and I always talk about making sure you have the right people in your lineup. How about having the right people in your business, which is what ZipRecruiter helps you do, because they can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just a click. So you don't post on all these different job boards. You post on ZipRecruiter, and then it posts on all the other job boards for you, and it actively notifies qualified candidates about your job within minutes. Algorithms, baby. Algorithms. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. There's a reason why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Find out today for free why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, you guys can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/feast. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/feast. And for the people that weren't paying attention the first two times, it's ZipRecruiter.com/feast. As always, Mr. Silva, we will start with the Thursday night game. It's the Arizona Cardinals hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Interesting game. Peterson getting all kinds of touches. And for Seattle, a week after they scored 41 points, they trade for Dwayne Brown and only get 14 points. What's your read on this game?
Yeah, the pass protection certainly remained a problem in Dwayne Brown's debut, although I don't think that, you know, you get one good offensive lineman, all of a sudden you expect your entire offensive line to be great all of a sudden. I think it's going to take some time, and, you know, you often talk about continuity with the offensive line. So, you know, Russell Wilson, he's going to be up and down because of this situation. With that said, he really hasn't been up and down lately. He still finished last week as the quarterback 7 in all of fantasy. He had 77 rushing yards, 10 rushing attempts. I mean, he is this team's leading rusher on the season. And in five of his last seven games against the Cardinals play man coverage. We often talk about how that can help a mobile quarterback's rushing production. In five of his last seven games against the Cardinals, he's rushed for 30 points or fewer. So that's three extra points. You know, that turns you from an 18-point fantasy game at quarterback to a 21-point fantasy game at quarterback. And that could be as much as lifting you from, like, the quarterback 15 on the week to the quarterback 8 on the week. I mean, that's how big of a swing, you know, just 30 rushing yards is. Six of the last eight quarterbacks to face the Cardinals have posted top 12 results. We've talked about how they are a pass funnel defense right now. You know, they lost Calais Campbell. They lost Marcus Golden. They do have Patrick Peterson, but they're not real good throughout the rest of the secondary. I think this is a great spot for Russell Wilson to stay hot. At running back, no Eddie Lacy. So that means that Thomas Rawls is in position for, I don't know, 15-plus touches, let's say, to be conservative. The matchup is very difficult. I mean, the Cardinals hold opposing running backs to 3.5 yards per carry, have allowed only four rushing scores in eight games. C.J. Procise will be a guy to watch in this game. I don't think you can trust him. I mean, the last time that he played, he couldn't even make it through the game. He's been dealing with a series of injuries right now, an ankle injury. Those are obviously troublesome for running backs, but he will be a guy to monitor, I think, in this game over the course of the season. I think that, or in the second half of the year, if they can somehow get C.J. Procise to string together a few games healthy, he will be their best option at running back. I think that Thomas Rawls, a risky flex play in a bad matchup in a broken running game. But he does have opportunity on his side, and he looked pretty good last week after Eddie Lacy went out, made a couple of plays in the passing game, gave the Seahawks some chain-moving runs that they've lacked all year. I think that Doug Baldwin will not draw Patrick Peterson in this game. Patrick Peterson has run into the slot a few times in the past to chase Doug Baldwin. However, that has only been when Tyrann Mathieu has been out. And I don't think that the Cardinals want to put Tyrann Mathieu on the outside just so they can have Patrick Peterson run around with Doug Baldwin. I think that and they need guys to cover the outside receivers, too, for the Seahawks. I mean, Paul Richardson and Tyler Lockett, we've seen how dangerous those guys are. So I think that Patrick Peterson will be on the outside, and I think that Doug Baldwin can eat against Tyrann Mathieu, who just really isn't the same player, I don't think, since going through a series of injuries. More of a gambler at this point. Doug Baldwin should have a really good floor and big ceiling here. Pro Football Focus has charged Tyrann Mathieu with the NFL's sixth most yards allowed in slot coverage this year. Jimmy Graham has a below-average matchup, but he's been one of the most consistent tight ends in fantasy with 55 yards and or a touchdown in six straight games. He leads all NFL tight ends in red zone targets. He leads the entire NFL in targets inside the 10-yard line. Rolling with him. Lockett versus Richardson, you know, if we're just comparing those guys on a weekly basis, it has been Richardson who has been more productive, even though Tyler Lockett has out-targeted Paul Richardson 23-12 since the Seahawks week six bye. I kind of wonder Tyler Lockett has made some big plays, but he just doesn't look the same from an explosion standpoint this year on a consistent basis. And I think that, you know, maybe that is due to his recovery from that broken leg that he suffered late last year. I mean, I think that he'll continue to get better, but I don't think he's as good of a player right now as Paul Richardson is, and I think that that's kind of borne out in the statistics. On the other side, we have Drew Stanton. Stanton kind of, he held his own last week against a terrible 49ers pass defense. He was able to keep Larry Fitzgerald afloat. You know, I think that this passing game really struggles against Seattle. Adrian Peterson, really liked him last week against San Francisco. Worried about him this week against Seattle. We talked about early in the season how the Seahawks were giving up a lot of long runs, but they've really fixed their defense. Over their last five games, the Seahawks have held opposing running backs to 2.9 yards per carry. So with Adrian Peterson, what you're hanging your hat on is, hoping that the Cardinals can keep this game close, that their defense can, get a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson, and Adrian Peterson can just keep, delivering like body blows to the Seahawks defense, because they're certainly going to ride him. I mean, dude had 39 touches last week, and Bruce Arians, comes out on Monday. He says, we're not going to back off him. And they shouldn't, and I don't think Adrian Peterson wants them to either. I mean, he is their offensive engine right now, and I think that you continue to use him in season-long leagues, but I think you certainly have much lower expectations this week than you did last week.
Got it. Is that it for the Arizona offense? That was easy. Yeah. All right. How about the Saints at the Bills? This is another good matchup I wanted to get your thoughts on.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing we talk about a lot is how Tyrod Taylor has really strong home game splits. Since the beginning of last season, 18-4 touchdown to interception ratio as a passer in home games, 9-4 on the road. I like him going up against this Saints defense, which is traveling to the Ralph. The Saints defense obviously has been improved this year, but they also haven't been tested in a while. I mean, they faced Brett Hundley in his first NFL start. They faced Bears rookie game manager Mitchell Trubisky, and they faced Jameis Winston, who was hurt and then got replaced by Ryan Fitzpatrick during the game last week. So, with Kelvin Benjamin in there, I think that he raises the touchdown probability for Tyrod Taylor. And I think Charles Clay has a chance to be back as well. I'm sticking with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, dude has been a top 10 fantasy quarterback three straight games. The Saints have also given up the six most rushing yards to quarterbacks. I also think this is a prime bounce back opportunity for LeSean McCoy against the Saints. The Saints, their weakness on defense is against the run. They've given up the eighth most fantasy points to running backs. They've also given up eighth most receiving yards to running backs. The Saints are number 4 in Football Outsiders pass defense DVOA and number 28 in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. That suggests to me that they are a run funnel defense. LeSean McCoy, after that slow Thursday night game, he should bounce back in a major way. I own Kelvin Benjamin in a few season-long leagues. We talked about how I think that the move to Buffalo is going to absolutely have a negative impact on his fantasy value. I'm trying not to start him this week against Marshawn Lattimore, but I may have to. It's going to depend on my alternatives, but that's where I'm at with him. And then I think that his, him being added to the lineup is just, it's like it remains to be seen what it will happen, what the impact will be on Zay Jones, who has really come on lately. I mean, he's played a couple of pretty good games in a row. But now they added this big, guy that they're going to want to force the ball to after trading a couple of draft picks for. So, it's not an ideal situation from a projection standpoint or a comfort standpoint. And Deontay Thompson, he wound up with having a great game against the Jets. He's had a couple of great games. And he's just going to be very, very volatile. He's like a poor man's Ted Ginn in the Bills offense right now. My guess is that their three receiver set will be, Kelvin Benjamin, Zay Jones, and Jordan Matthews in the slot. And then Deontay Thompson will probably be the number 4, I would guess. I don't know. We will know more after this game. On the Saints side, Drew Brees, he's the number 8 overall fantasy quarterback on the season, but he has not had very many big games, and it's kind of difficult to imagine this one being a spiked week game at Ralph Wilson Stadium, always a difficult place to play. It is true that the Bills have given up 300 or more passing yards in 3 of their last 4 games. But, you know, I think that Drew Brees is better just approached as a guy who will probably have a solid game. But right now, I don't think you can have really high expectations for him in terms of box score production. Alvin Kamara finally had his eruption game last week against Tampa Bay. Dude is awesome. This does not really impact Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram still had more touches than him, played 60% of the snaps. Kamara only played 43% of the snaps. Mark Ingram is an every week fantasy RB1, and Alvin Kamara is an every week fantasy RB2 in what is one of the best running games in the league, if not the best running game in the league. The Bills, of course, traded away Marcell Dareus. Over their last 6 games, have given up 4.31 yards per carry to opposing running backs. That is well below average. And so, riding with Ingram and Kamara against this Bills defense, Michael Thomas, he was mildly disappointing, I think. He had 8 catches for 65 yards, no touchdowns last week against the Saints. And it's kind of been as Drew Brees has gone, Michael Thomas has gone. And that's why he hasn't had any prolific games so far. But he does have strong away game splits in his career. Michael Thomas averages 6.5 catches for 80 yards per game with a 64% touchdown probability in away games. Whereas at home, he's at 5.8 catches, 67 yards, only 30% touchdown probability at the Superdome. So I think that is an interesting nugget for Michael Thomas. I would ride with him. And Tre'Davious White has been very good this year, but he's also given up 3 touchdowns in his last 4 games. And he's a rookie, and it's possible that he will begin to hit the rookie wall. He got dusted by Robbie Anderson in that Thursday night game. I think that Michael Thomas can win against Tre'Davious White. Ted Ginn, the story is always the same. He only averages 4.5 targets per game, but he has a lot of big play ability. I mean, he is 5th among all wide receivers in 20-plus yard catches. He's 19th among NFL wide receivers in receiving yards. The matchup is going to be good. It's either going to be against E.J. Gaines, who hasn't played in a while, or it's going to be against Sharice Wright, a guy that we always love to attack. And Ted Ginn has played well away from the Superdome. He had that 140-yard game at Lambeau. I think that he is like a volatile wide receiver 3. Can't be surprised if he has a slower game. But he can elevate you because he's got that big play ability. He's been super, super efficient with the Saints. Don't really want anything to do with the rest of the Saints receivers. Kobe Fleener just doesn't really play much anymore. The slot receiver has gone back to a rotation between Brandon Coleman and Willie Snead. Brandon Coleman was down to 50% of the snaps last week. Willie Snead, 30%, they combined for 1 target. Going to need to see something more from them in order to start playing them. I don't even know if either of those guys is roster worthy in even like a 14-team league at this point. We can move on to the next one.
Next one, Packers-Bears. Greg Cosell always says on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast that don't worry about what teams say about their players. They show you what they think of your players. It took a while before McCarthy called some down-the-field stuff for Brett Hundley, but it still has not been real good for the Packers receivers, that's for sure. Although I will say this, Jordy Nelson could have gotten some more separation from Slay, and Devontae Adams could have caught that long ball too. So it's not all on Hundley.
Yeah, and the Packers also went out and tried to sign Brian Hoyer. So they have told us a lot of things about the way that they feel about Brett Hundley. I mean, they just don't have a lot of confidence in him. And I mean, sometimes I think he plays scared out there. I mean, he just looks terrified at times. I am into the Bears defense as a streamer this week. They're really cheap in daily fantasy. I actually used Brett Hundley as a streamer last week. I was really, you know, concerned about it. He wound up as the quarterback 12 on the week. So I can't be, you know, disappointed in that. But I'm going away from him against the Bears. The Bears are they in sacks? They're ninth in the NFL in sacks, and they have held 6 of 8 quarterbacks that they faced to fantasy results of quarterback 16 or worse. So this does not, and they haven't given up any rushing production to opposing quarterbacks. And I think that at this point, what you need from Brett Hundley is rushing production because, number one, the Packers don't trust him as a passer. Number two, I don't even know if he's that confident in his own passing ability. So what was most disappointing in that Monday night game was the fact that the Packers essentially used a 3-man committee. It was really a 2-man committee in the backfield with Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery. You know, Aaron Jones came out as the starter, but Ty Montgomery wound up playing more snaps. And that could have been partially due to game flow for sure. But I don't know that the Packers are going to have very much positive game flow going forward. I mean, they're not a very good team right now in their current state. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the single most valuable player in the NFL. He should have won MVP last year. And he is, I mean, his value is just immense. So Aaron Jones, he is, you know, back to the point where he's a really risky flex play. Same with Ty Montgomery. And then Jamal Williams, of course, you know, that comes in and trolls us all by vulturing a 1-yard touchdown late in that game. Not fun to watch. You know, I own Jordy Nelson. I've dropped Martellus Bennett. And Jordy Nelson is like on my bench at this point. So much of his value and his productivity was due to the quarterback pass catcher rapport that he had with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, that is obviously lost with Brett Hundley, and Jordy Nelson is almost a lost cause right now. Davante Adams has been up and down with Brett Hundley at quarterback. It's going to be difficult for all these guys. And I think that that's going to end up, that Monday night game is going to be, I think Brett Hundley finished with, 264 passing yards. That might be his highest passing yardage total of the season. I don't think he's going to go to Soldier and light it up from a passing standpoint. Not many quarterbacks do. On the other side, Jordan Howard really stands out. I think that Jordan Howard, you know, coming off the bye, should have the fresh legs. He has averaged 25.2 touches over his last 6 games. The Bears are favored in this game against the Packers. Packers are 11th in run defense DVOA, but they're not a shutdown run defense. And I think Jordan Howard has run the ball successfully on better defenses than the Packers this year. And I think that he will be, I think he's underpriced right now in daily fantasy, and he will be one of my highest owned plays for sure. Mitchell Trubisky, I mean, he hasn't even finished inside the top 20 fantasy quarterbacks in any of his 4 starts, and he just lost Zach Miller, who was leading the team in targets since Trubisky took over. We can pretty much skip. I guess I can talk about Deion Sims. So the Bears are without Zach Miller, of course. Deion Sims is, I think, worth a little bit of discussion as a tight end streamer if you're super, super desperate. He has blocked on 71% of his snaps so far this year. But Miller was playing a huge, huge role. The Packers just lost Morgan Burnett to a groin injury. He will not play in this game. So maybe a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for Deion Sims, but Don't want any part of any of the Bears receivers, and we can move on to the next one.
You feel good enough about the Bears defense against Hundley to make them your DraftKings defense of the week?
I would say so, and they should, yeah, and they're reasonably priced too.
Yeah, they're $3,000 on DraftKings, so that's pretty interesting. I mean, that, think about that. I mean, when's the last time that the DraftKings defense of the week was going against the Packers? That doesn't happen all that often. I know you like the Rams defense as well. We'll talk about that in part two, but we're going to go with the Bears as your DraftKings defense of the week. $3,000 on DraftKings. Of course, you can get to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code FEAST to play free with your first deposit for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code FEAST to play free with your first deposit for your share of over $1 million. DraftKings is the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details and take Evan's advice and use the Bears D. The next game up on the docket, Browns Lions. And I got to tell you, Evan, Matthew Stafford's on fire right now. I mean, I know they didn't score that many points against the Steelers, but he is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, he's balling. He's balling. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in three straight, top six fantasy quarterback in two straight, and he faces maybe the best matchup for any quarterback. The Browns have given up top 15 finishes to 7 of 8 quarterbacks faced. The only quarterback that did not finish inside the top 15 against them was Marcus Mariota in that game that went to overtime. And Marcus Mariota just clearly was not healthy. And Marcus Mariota has struggled all season anyways. And the Browns have given up top 6 results to Case Keenum, Jacoby Brissett, and Andy Dalton. So I think that Matthew Stafford can really get it done here. I think the best guy to play him with in this particular matchup is Golden Tate. Against the Browns slot coverage, they got beat up badly by Adam Thielen in London. 5 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown. But Marvin Jones also has come on very, very strong of late. Double-digit targets in 3 straight games. The Lions have sort of embraced being a pass-first team. They are 43 attempts per game over their last 3. And that's what they need to be. I mean, they do not need to be, you know, running Amir Abdullah into brick walls. And the Browns have the best run defense in football. They have allowed 2.91 yards per carry and only 3 rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs through 8 games. Abdullah is, I mean, he's a big home favorite, and he's going to get the ball. He's averaged 17 touches per game this year, but, you know, he's not a strong matchup play. For sure, whereas Stafford and Tate and Marvin Jones are. And then, you know, if it's ever going to happen for Eric Ebron, it would happen this week. The Browns are terrible at defending tight end. You know, they bring it on themselves with coaching staff decisions, putting, you know, lining up Jabril Peppers 30 yards off the line of scrimmage, leaving the middle of the field wide open. Eric Ebron, you know, he only plays about 50% of the snaps at this point, but this would be the week to pick him up off the waiver wire and stream him. Really like the Lions' defense this week, and I've noticed that in a lot of my season-long leagues, they are on waivers right now. I got him in one league last night. Most of my waivers take place on Wednesday nights, and so I'm going to try to get them in as many leagues as I can. I really like, we mentioned the Bears against the Packers. I also like the Steelers at the Colts. And then I also like the Rams against the Texans, as you mentioned. But the Lions really stand out as a strong play. They're 4th in the NFL in interceptions. No Joe Thomas. DeShone Kizer leads the NFL in interceptions with 11 in 7 starts, 13 turnovers in 7 starts. And then I think that the the Lions are going to make the Browns throw, because the Lions have played really good run defense even without Haloti Ngata. I mean, they really slowed down Le'Veon Bell a couple of weeks ago. In their last two games, have allowed 3.3 yards per carry to opposing running backs. I think that this is more of a Duke Johnson potential game than Isaiah Crowell. Isaiah Crowell only has one game of 75 yards from scrimmage on the season. Duke Johnson has had double-digit touches now in three straight weeks, the Lions have given up the 11th most receptions to running backs. So the matchup sets up a little bit better for Duke Johnson than Isaiah Crowell this week. Corey Coleman may come back from his hand injury. Don't like to use guys in any format coming off like multi-week injuries like this. Want to see how they're used, make sure they don't suffer any in-game setbacks. Now, a hand is different than, you know, a knee or a hamstring for sure. But Corey Coleman hasn't been involved in the offense in a really long time. So not only is he really not in play, to me, he takes away the viability of all the other Browns pass catchers because, you know, it's conceivable that while it is conceivable that he could very well do nothing in his first game back, it's also conceivable that he could come in and dominate targets. And he's also probably going to draw Darius Slay if he plays. So just a lot of different ways that this can go for Browns pass catchers, and I just don't want any part of it. And we can move on to the next one.
You mentioned it, Colts, Steelers, Martavis Bryant expecting to run with the ones, has been getting a lot of reps in practice. What are you telling people to do that own Bryant?
I mean, I own Bryant, and I will not be playing him this week. Of course, I did pick up Juju Smith-Schuster in all those leagues, and I will be using him. And I think that he's going to be a good daily fantasy play as well, but Bryant is very much in prove it mode. I mean, you know, he's got to show me something for me to even really consider him. He's parked at the end of the bench until further notice. If he does something well, then we can, you know, reevaluate at that point. But the information right now is, you know, it's not good enough. I mean, he has one game of 50 yards on the season. I think that this could be a good game for Ben Roethlisberger. Now, Ben Roethlisberger has been a legitimately terrible fantasy quarterback this year. I think that, you know, I don't think that it's totally over for him. But I think that he's certainly, you know, in the twilight of his career. And if he retired after the season, like, I don't, you know, no one would be surprised at this point. I mean, and especially in fantasy, I mean, he's been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 2 of 8 games. But the Colts defense is atrocious. They've given up 44 completions of 20 plus yards. That is the most in the league by a significant margin. They don't rush the passer particularly well. I like this, you know, for an old guy coming off the bye, going to play in a dome. I think that Ben Roethlisberger is a strong fantasy start this week. I'm going to probably play some of him in daily fantasy along with Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown ate the Colts lunch on Thanksgiving last year, scored 3 touchdowns. And, you know, the Steelers have Juju rolling too. I mean, they finally have that third weapon in addition to Le'Veon and Antonio Brown that they needed. And I think that Juju is the answer. Le'Veon Bell, best running back play on the week. The Colts, over their last 4 games, have given up 4.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs. On the season, they've allowed the 2nd most receiving yards to the position. And, you know, we always talk about it. Le'Veon Bell has scored 22 of his 31 career rushing touchdowns on the road, 71%. All 5 of Le'Veon Bell's rushing scores this year have occurred in road games. He is the premier running back play on the week 10 slate. On the other side, again, really like the Steelers defense. Jacoby Brissett has taken a league high 32 sacks. The Steelers defense is just really good. They are number 4 in the NFL in sacks right now, despite ranking bottom five in the NFL in blitz percentage. So they've been getting home with their defensive front seven, and they really haven't even had Stephon Tuitt, who's maybe their most talented defensive lineman. He's going to be back this week. So this is a scary matchup, frightening for the Colts, who have been a very matchup-sensitive team all year. I mean, they've had good games against, you know, bad defenses, the 49ers, the Texans, the Browns, but they have not performed well against good defenses. And, you know, that happens for most teams, but it's been especially the case for the Colts, I mean, to a significant degree. So I think that this is, you know, what I really played Jacoby Brissett a ton in daily fantasy last week, you know, used him in a bunch of season-long leagues, just dropping him this week, not messing around with him. Frank Gore went back to dominating the workload, the snaps and the targets. I'm sorry, the snaps and the touches in the Colts backfield last week after Marlon Mack had outsnapped him two games in a row before that. The Steelers' defense has started to come around, holding opposing running backs to 3.3 yards per carry, no rushing touchdowns in their last three games. So Frank Gore, just always a low upside RB2 flex option. Marlon Mack is a big play-dependent leap of faith. T.Y. Hilton was the superstar of Week 9, and now he gets a really difficult matchup against the Steelers' defense. Only three receivers have gone over 60 yards against the Steelers through eight games. T.Y. Hilton in season-long leagues is always a guy worth betting on whenever he's at home or playing on turf, as we discussed, you know, ahead of that Texans game. I'm a little bit concerned about his matchup. I would guess that he's very high owned in daily fantasy this week, and he's probably not going to be one of the guys that I play a whole lot. We'll see how that goes. Jack Doyle also has a tough matchup against the Steelers. They've allowed the fifth fewest yards in the NFL to tight ends. Then again, their tight end schedule has not been particularly difficult, and Jack Doyle has been such a volume machine that you keep betting on him. I would rather play in DFS this week Jack Doyle than T.Y. Hilton. That's where we are. Moncrief and Kamar Aitken, those guys aren't even worth discussion. We can go to the next.
Next game is the Chargers coming off a bye against the Jags, who I saw them play on Sunday. I swear Bortles plays well every time I'm there. The Jags should pay me to go to the games. It's unbelievable. And the Jags know who they are, even without Fournette, who was disciplined for skipping treatments and workouts. You know, they still pounded it with Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon and still rushed for, I think, close to 150 yards. How do you see this one?
I think Fournette comes back and smashes. You know, the silver lining to Leonard Fournette sitting out last week was that it got him rest for that ankle, you know, an extra week of rest for that ankle that has been problematic for like a year and a half. It was originally suffered in training camp, his final season at LSU. It may be something that will linger with him for his entire career. Hopefully it doesn't, but it's something that has just continually popped up. And so sitting out last week, he was able to not put any pressure on it against a pretty good Bengals run defense, and now he's going to make his return against a bad Chargers run defense. Now, the Chargers are getting back inside linebacker Denzel Perryman, but you know, who knows how effective he's going to be after, you know, 2 months away, 2.5 months away from the game. Will he be ready? You know, will he be in full football shape? How much does he really make a difference? I mean, I wouldn't even consider, you know, when healthy, him to be necessarily one of the best inside linebackers in football. I think maybe he could get there eventually, and he's certainly a good player. But he's not someone that, oh, he's coming back, so you know, now I got to worry about Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette is in it doesn't really get a whole lot better than this for Leonard Fournette against a bad Chargers run defense at home as favorites with this dominant defense that is always going to keep their running game in positive script. Blake Bortles has played pretty well. I mean, he's, I think, 65% completions in three straight games. Still hasn't been that good in fantasy. Top 12 fantasy passer in just one of eight starts. I think he was the quarterback 15 last week. He's a good two quarterback league play. Don't really like to mess around testing this Chargers pass defense. I do think that when Day-Day Westbrook comes back, which, you know, Doug Marrone was again non-committal on Day-Day Westbrook coming back and playing against the Chargers, so I don't even know if he'll be back this week. But when he does come back, he could add another element of explosiveness to this offense that really, really lacks it. I mean, in the passing game, I mean, they're running out Mercedes Lewis. Who's your boy, Keelan Cole? You like the Keelan Cole dude, right?
Dude, he was making play. I don't know. They didn't throw him the ball once in the second half, but like in the first three series of the game, he had three catches, including an unbelievable one-handed catch. I was loving him.
Yeah, he popped in the preseason a little bit too. He just doesn't get the ball consistently enough.
And by the way, Marquise Lee had a big game, but he had two terrible drops too. I mean, he should have had even a bigger game.
Yeah, and he's like just clearly their number one right now. And then Allen Hurns is, you know, a little bit better than just a guy as their slot receiver. But adding Day-Day Westbrook, I think, could eventually elevate Blake Bortles into a guy that we're looking at in fantasy a little bit more closely later in the season, especially if he continues to play as efficiently as he has in recent games. And it just adds another element of explosiveness to their offense, period. But we simply do not know if he's going to play. And then, you know, we get back into the dilemma of you know, how many snaps is he going to play in his first game back? You know, the list goes on and on. And this week, I mean, it's just a pure wait-and-see week with pretty much all the Jaguars pass catchers because the Chargers pass defense is so good. This is a worrisome game for the Chargers offense. The Jaguars have played eight quarterbacks this year. They played eight games. Every single quarterback that they have faced has finished as the quarterback 18 or worse in fantasy. They lead the NFL in sacks. They have given up the fewest touchdown passes in the league. I mean, I don't want anything to do with Phillip Rivers this week. I don't want anything to do with the Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, Travis Benjamin rotation. Keenan Allen even scares me. I mean, you know, theoretically, he should see a lot of Aaron Colvin in the slot. But number one, Aaron Colvin has been really good along with, I mean, it's not like the Jaguars are giving up big games to slot receivers by any means. And then it's also very possible that we see Jalen Ramsey run into the slot to chase him. I mean, Jalen Ramsey played a bunch of slot corner at Florida State. And he played some slot corner last year too, in games where the Jaguars wanted to use him against a guy that was playing a lot of slot receivers. So, Keenan Allen has been disappointing for about the last month. I think he will absolutely get it together. But I don't think that this is, you know, I think people are going to say this is a better matchup than it looks like for Keenan Allen. I'm not so sure about that. I think that we could see Hunter Henry bounce back. It just all comes down to usage for Hunter Henry. You know, are the Chargers going to make a commitment to making him a prominent part of their offense? And that has been erratic so far this year. But the Jaguars have given up the 14th most fantasy points to tight ends. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot compared to what they've allowed to other positions. So I don't know, man. It's just kind of a bleak outlook in general for the Chargers. Melvin Gordon, I guess, you know, he would technically have the best matchup against the Jaguars, but Jaguars just don't give up many points, number one. And number two, now they have Marcell Dareus, and they played really good run defense, albeit against the Bengals last week. I mean, the Bengals can't run block at all. But, you know, it's Melvin Gordon is just a volume play, and we can move on to the next one.
I'm calling it the Journeyman Quarterback Super Bowl. It's Josh McCown against Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they've each started games for at least five teams, maybe six, which is really hard to do if you think about it, but that's the deal. It's the Jets and the Bucks. What do you got?
Yeah, this is also the revenge game of all revenge games because, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick used to play for the Jets. Josh McCown used to play for the Bucks. Austin Seferian Jenkins used to play for the Bucks. So, I mean, just revenge games all over the place here. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick plays well here. And even without Mike Evans, I mean, I would much rather have Mike Evans in the lineup for Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think he can play well. 7 of 9 quarterbacks to have faced the Jets have finished at top 12 on the week. Fitzpatrick is a gunslinger, man. I mean, and he will have terrible moments. I mean, he's going to throw the ball to the other team. And it's just, you know, at certain points, and it's just going to be a matter of, like, do they catch it? But I also like him this week because the Jets, you know, they play a lot of man. They've given up the second most rushing yards to quarterbacks. And, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is definitely a dude who will run. He had 3 runs for 30 yards last week, and I mean he's always been like a crafty little scrambler. So I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick at his price in daily fantasy is worth serious discussion, and I think that the guy to play him with or one of the guys to play him with, I like a lot of guys in his receiver core, but one of the guys to play him with is Adam Humphries. I went back and looked at just all the targets that Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown this year. Adam Humphries, well, Mike Evans leads the team with 10, but Adam Humphries is second with 8. And particularly in that Cardinals game, Ryan Fitzpatrick was using the middle of the field to attack that Cardinals defense. I think he can do something similar to this Jets defense, which is very similar in scheme. I mean, Todd Bowles used to coach that Cardinals defense. James Becktru is now the Cardinals DC. He was essentially a Todd Bowles disciple. And the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick went after that Cardinals defense was to attack it in the middle of the field with Cameron Brate and Adam Humphries. Adam Humphries, I think, is a starter in PPR leagues. I think he's a great play on DraftKings. He's only 3,100, I believe, this week. I mean, he has a chance to catch like 6+ balls, you know, at that cheap price, and that's going to be hard to turn down. He's got a very good matchup as well. Buster Skrine has been hurt and struggled this season. Cameron Brate, I love this week. I mean, he is tied with Mike Evans for the team lead in red zone targets, and with no Mike Evans, I mean, that just pushes like a lot of the share of projection of projected red zone targets into Cameron Brate's direction. And that is very, very promising. Cameron Brate, like a top 5 tight end play on the slate this week. Jets have been getting creamed by tight ends, 6 most fantasy points allowed to that position. DeSean Jackson, he's going to get shadowed by Morris Claiborne. But Morris Claiborne has never been like a long speed guy, number one. He ran 4.5 flat coming out of LSU. DeSean is like, I mean, still, you know, a 4.3 guy. And Morris Claiborne has not played since week 8 due to a foot injury. So I'm betting on DeSean here. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't technically have like a great arm, but he certainly will let it loose when he sees an opening. I like the over in this game. I mean, I like the Jets side too. We talk about Doug Martin. So I guess there is, you know, there's certainly, I mean, one of the threats, I'll put it this way, one of the threats to Ryan Fitzpatrick is that Dirk Koetter just really tries to go run heavy. You know, he knows what Ryan Fitzpatrick does and how he can, you know, have like three turnover or three interception meltdown sort of games. And he just, you know, puts the ball in Doug Barton's belly a lot. The Jets have played really good run defense lately, 3.68 yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs over their last eight games. They're right back to the stout Jets run defense of years past. So it's not really a good matchup for Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I do think there's a chance that Dirk Koetter just tries to make this a Doug Martin game. Should mention Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin will be getting the start in place of Mike Evans. Chris Godwin, third round pick out of Penn State. You're a Penn State guy. Why don't you tell us what your opinion is on Chris Godwin?
Really good player, and you know, they've missed him. You know, they've had some other receivers like Deshaun Hamilton step up, but they've definitely missed his big playability. The thing that should encourage people about Godwin, not only for this week but long term, is I was told by some of the coaches at Penn State, like, he, from the first day he got there, I mean, you look, true freshman he was good, true sophomore he was really good, had a big true junior year and left after 3 years, but they said from day one he was like a pro. You know, one of those first guy to get there, last guy to leave. He just got it, and I think that bodes well for his professional future in general, and also being prepared for this opportunity this week.
Absolutely, and he's played in their offense. I mean, he hasn't really made like a dent because he's behind, you know, Humphreys and Deshaun and Mike Evans, but he's been playing 25% of the snaps. He's getting snaps every single week as a third-round rookie. You know, a lot of guys in his spot would be like inactive on game days, but he is like their locked-in fourth receiver, and now he's going to essentially be their number two receiver, their number two perimeter receiver, and facing off with, you know, he's going to get good matchups with Morris Claiborne on, likely to be on Deshaun Jackson. So, and he's minimum price everywhere in DFS. So, you know, at very least, someone worth talking to. I'm sure that I'll have a little bit of him in fantasy lineups. On the other side, Josh McCown facing off against the Bucs, 31st in pass defense DVOA. They've given up top 14 fantasy results to five of their last seven quarterbacks faced. The Bucs have given up the fourth highest passer rating, third highest completion rate in the league. We've seen Josh McCown. He is a solid floor play every single week, and he has also been a top eight fantasy passer in three of his last four. I mean, this Jets offense just moves, and I think that they are going to move against the Bucs again. I mean, the Bucs have just shown no ability to rush the passer. Eight sacks in eight games, fewest in the league. Also dead last in the NFL in quarterback hits. I mean, every reason to think that Josh McCown can have another very good game. You know, as I mentioned last week, I've got him in some leagues, and I just start him every week. And sometimes I'll think, like, oh, well, what's on the waiver wire this week? And I'll be like, oh, should I play him over Josh McCown? And I just decide, nope. And then Josh McCown gives me another solid week. So sticking with him. Matt Forte reemerged as the Jets' lead back last week. He was 18 touches, 48% of the snaps, which doesn't sound like a lot. But, I mean, Elijah McGuire came in late in the game, and you know, it was blowout mode. But 48% for Matt Forte in terms of snaps, only 22% for Bilal Powell. So Matt Forte more than doubled Bilal Powell in playing time and did double him in touches, 18-9. So Matt Forte looks like the guy here against a Bucs defense that has given up over their last five games 4.7 yards per carry. The Bucs, over the course of the season, have also given up the 11th most receiving yards to running backs. Matt Forte, I mean, this is about, you know, he's peaking right now in terms of his fantasy outlook and his fantasy value, and I think he's a great play against Tampa Bay. Bilal Powell is still in the mix as a flex option. Robbie Anderson just balling out. This is an awesome matchup for him. Touchdown in three straight games. You go and look at all the perimeter receivers that have played the Bucs. I mean, just smashed them. Week in and week out, Robbie Anderson is that speed threat on the outside. You know, Ted Ginn had a big game against him. Deontay Thompson had two big games against him on different teams. Stephon Diggs just lit him up. So I think that Robbie Anderson can stay hot here. The Bucs have not given up a ton of fantasy points to tight ends this year, but I'm sticking with Austin Seferian Jenkins. I just think that Josh McCown is likely to have success. Austin Seferian Jenkins leads the Jets in red zone targets and targets inside the 10. And I think that he can, like, all he needs is a touchdown, really, and he's gotten screwed out of touchdowns. I mean, he should have had one against the Bills. He should have had one against the Patriots. You know, when we're looking just strictly at box scores, we can think that he's slowed down. But, you know, on the field, like, he's come very close. It's a game of inches in real life and in fantasy. I'm sticking with him for sure. Jermaine Kearse, he hasn't reached 50 yards since week two. Robbie Anderson and ASJ are the guys here, and we can move on to the next one.
Two more games here in part one. Bengals Titans Sunday at 1.
Yeah, not the most fun game to analyze or have expectations for. I will say that I think that this is – so when we talk about matchup-sensitive offenses, and all offenses are to some degree, but there are some offenses that are just extremely matchup-sensitive, and the Bengals are one of them, especially from a passing game standpoint. And, every time that this comes up, I'll mention Joe Goodberry, a Bengals analyst. He has written articles about how Andy Dalton tends to fare better against uncommon opponents as opposed to common opponents. Common opponents, of course, are teams that Andy Dalton has played within the last either during the season or the season previous. And we were able to use that sort of trend to identify Andy Dalton as a great play in week four against the Colts. Now, the fact that the Colts are terrible in pass defense certainly helped, but this situation is similar. Andy Dalton has not faced the Titans since week three of the 2014 season, and the Titans really struggle in pass defense. They have given up the ninth most touchdown passes in the league. They're 22nd in pass defense DVOA. They have struggled to get pressure on quarterbacks with the league's third fewest sacks and only 13 in eight games. Andy Dalton has also performed better on the road this year. I don't know if that's, because he's getting booed by fans at home or what, but he has four multi-touchdown pass games this year. Three of them have come on the road. Also notable that we always talk about when A.J. Green is on the road, that he has significant road game splits. I think A.J. Green is probably going to be like my highest owned receiver in daily fantasy this week, and I'm going to use some Dalton as well. Not a whole lot else to talk about in this offense. Tyler Kroft did have a big play last week, but he's gone over 50 yards in just 2 of 8 games. He's just like a touchdown or bust guy. Brandon LaFell plays 92% of the snaps, but he has not reached 50 yards in any games this year. John Ross, I don't know what they're doing with him. He can't get on the field. Running backs. The Titans have given up the sixth most receiving yards to running backs, but they're also really stout on the ground. 3.4 yards per carry, only 2 rushing touchdowns allowed in 8 games. those are concerns for Joe Mixon. You know, the matchup isn't strong. He is like and the matchup really is just never going to be strong because of the weakness of the Bengals' offensive line and their run blocking. So he's like a volume-based play. You're kind of just hoping for a touchdown at this point, hoping that they get him more involved in the passing game because that's where the Titans' defense is weakest. Marcus Mariota, again, he's been a major disappointment, and I don't think that this is the kind of matchup that was going to jumpstart him. I mean, he has not finished as a top 12 fantasy quarterback in six straight starts. The Bengals have allowed the 10th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, 5th fewest passing yards per game, 7th fewest passing touchdowns. So, you know, this is one thing I will be doing this week. I'm going to be playing Eli Manning over Marcus Mariota in season-long fantasy. We will talk more about that on the second podcast. But I am streaming over Marcus Mariota. The Titans, so they went back to this running back by committee last week with DeMarco Murray as the lead guy and Derrick Henry as the number two. DeMarco Murray, 11 touches, 71% of the snaps. Derrick Henry, 10 touches, 37% of the snaps. Bengals are very good in run defense. Number 7 in run defense, DVOA. They hold running backs to 3.7 yards per carry, only 2 rushing touchdowns allowed in 8 games. DeMarco Murray is hurt again. You know, I don't know why they refused. I shouldn't say that I don't know why. It would be nice for everyone involved if they could give this guy a week off. And then we could see what Derrick Henry could do. You know, we could get DeMarco Murray back healthy and you know, feel more confident about him. He's dealt with knee, hamstring, and shoulder injuries. Right now he's nursing a knee injury. He's a warrior, man. I mean, you have to give him credit for that. But, you know, you would think that the Titans would want to protect their players from playing at, you know, sub 100% health. But that I'm sure that DeMarco Murray is going to play this week. Like that's just what happens. But you know, at this point, he's like a low RB2. Derrick Henry is a touchdown or bust flex option, basically like a Jonathan Stewart. Corey Davis comes back last week, plays 75% of the snaps, doesn't really do much against Baltimore, which was to be expected. You know, that's another good example of why, you know, go investing heavily into guys that are coming off multi-week absences like that. He did run more pass routes than Rishard Matthews, and he reemerged as the clear number two for Tennessee, pushed Eric Decker to 44% of the snaps. Eric Decker is now just a like rotational slot receiver. Taywan Taylor is the four. You know, this is another difficult matchup for Corey Davis and Rishard Matthews. And so they are like Rishard Matthews is a better play than Corey Davis right now. But, you know, they are on that like wide receiver 3/flex borderline. Decker did score a touchdown, but he ran a season low 17 routes. You know, again, 44% of the snaps. I mean, that's not something that you can count on. Delanie Walker, he is another warrior. He led the team in receiving last week, playing through that ankle injury. His snaps were way down, but you know, I think he'll probably be healthier this week. He fared just fine. The Bengals have played a really weak schedule of tight ends, so they haven't given up very many points to the position. They did get smashed by Jack Doyle for 12, 121, and a touchdown a couple of weeks ago. They gave up 4 for 54 to the Jaguars tight ends last week. So Delanie Walker, I'm riding with him. He's a warrior, and we can move on to the next one.
Last game here in part one, it is the Vikings and the Redskins. Redskins, Vikings coming off a bye. Redskins somehow beat the Seahawks with one lineman and no Crowder or Jordan Reed.
Well, Blair Walsh was playing for the Redskins, too. So anyways, I have not done any analysis on this game because I have been holding off on it because there are so many injury issues, especially on the Redskins side. And I wanted to see if Teddy Bridgewater might start, but it's not going to be him. It's going to be Case Keenum. I mean, I just know off the top of my head, you know, Redskins have gotten smashed all year by tight ends. That's great for Kyle Rudolph. Steph Diggs coming off the bye should be a lot healthier. Josh Norman does not shadow, so Diggs will be away from him plenty. We saw Baldwin light up the Redskins last week in the slot. That's good for Adam Thielen. You know, it's going to come down to Case Keenum, which, you know, adds a lot of volatility to the outlooks and the projections and the expectations for Vikings offensive skill position players. You know, the matchups are going to all be good for the Vikings. And then Jerick McKinnon, you know, Latavius Murray had that one good game against Baltimore, but he went back to stinking it up against the Browns, and Jerick McKinnon will be the Vikings lead back. There's just not a whole lot I can say about the Redskins right now because we need to find out about Jordan Reed and Jamison Crowder.
Yep, fair enough. Excellent, excellent stuff, Evan. I love it. That'll do it for part one of the Week 10 Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Most of you guys are regulars. You know the drill. We will record part two for the late afternoon games, the Sunday nighter, the Monday nighter right away, and it'll be in your podcast app shortly after midnight Eastern because we don't want to mess up your podcast apps by launching two on the same day. So you guys know the deal. Lots more to games to get to make sure you have your lineups totally fine-tuned. We love those of you that give us the retweets for the show. Why not, right? I mean, we're giving this here for free. The least you can do is retweet. We appreciate it. Or you can take advantage of any of our sponsors. If you ever have a specific question for Evan, he will answer it on the show. I will make him answer it on the show. Just send the email to me, ross@rostucker.com, after you took advantage of one of our sponsors. Other than that, totally stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.